Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is March 25, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Nike reveals that shoppers are returning to stores in Asia. Limit for contactless spending in the UK to rise to £45. Xiaomi's Mi Pay enables NFC-free payments. Network International announces support measures for UAE merchant partners. Kakao Talks Business Solution integrates Cafe 24. Blue Snap facilitates its payments for marketplaces solution. Smart2Pay adds Ant Financial's HUABEI credit card to its payments portfolio. M&A, open banking drive commercial card innovation. Excess SaaS spend emerges from the shadows. The developer's role in driving e-invoice standardization. Now let's get started. Nike reveals that shoppers are returning to stores in Asia. Nike executives have said that shoppers in key Asian markets are beginning to return to stores. The company reported a rare drop in Chinese quarterly revenues cushioned by stronger e-commerce sales. However, Nike sees an increase in the number of consumers coming back in the stores, although they are often wearing face masks. During the peak of the COVID-19 crisis in China, 75% of Nike-owned stores were closed in the country, but now nearly 80% of its Nike and affiliated stores in China are open. The sporting goods company said it would press on with some new product launches originally tied to the Olympics, which became the latest event to be officially postponed because of the global pandemic. Limit for contactless spending in the UK to rise to £45. The UK Finance Industry Association has announced it will raise the spending limit for contactless card payments from £30 to £45 in April 2020. The announcement comes as retailers cut the need for physical contact in shops amid the coronavirus epidemic. However, they declared that it may take some time for the new limit to come into force across the UK, according to Reuters. Mobile phone users can already make contactless payments above £30 if the retailer accepts, by holding their phone over the reader and entering their normal card PIN on their phone. The British Retail Consortium said the increase to £45 would reduce the need for physical contact with PIN entry devices at the POS. In recent news, other countries have also announced increases to minimize the handling of cash. Xiaomi's Mi Pay enables NFC-free payments. Xiaomi's Mi Pay has announced a new feature that will allow phones without NFC to access its services. Xiaomi has released an infographic in Chinese that shows the steps one must take to use the service without NFC. The user will have to add their bank cards in and add the necessary details to complete the authentication. After that, a double press on the power button is required, which will generate a QR code that can then be used to complete the payment. Mi Pay will be integrated within apps like the Contacts, SMS, Scanner, as well as App Vault. The brand says that all user-generated data in Mi Pay will be saved within India in a highly encrypted format. Moreover, Mi Pay will allow users to make payments via debit cards, credit cards, and net banking too. They can also make payments to vendors by scanning QR codes. Xiaomi mentions users will be able to pay your phone, water, electricity bills and make mobile or DTH recharges. The feature is available only in China, but the company plans to migrate it to India soon. Currently, only Redmi Note 7, Redmi Note 5, and Redmi 6 currently have this feature in beta. Network International announces support measures for UAE merchant partners. Network International has announced a total of approximately €1.20 MLN, 5 United Arab Emirates dirhams MLN, in cash and other practical relief measures for UAE merchant partners. This comes in support of the economic stimulus packages announced earlier by the UAE's leadership and the UAE Central Bank, to help the nation's businesses through this period of economic uncertainty. As part of its support, the payments company will contribute nearly €1 million, 3.7 million United Arab Emirates dirhams, in cash to 1,000 of its most severely impacted merchant clients operating in the SMEs sector. The contribution aims to alleviate financial pressures among the small businesses that have been affected by the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Network International comprises of a group of companies and is one of the leading enablers of digital commerce across the Middle East and Africa region, providing a full suite of technology-enabled payment solutions to merchants and financial institutions of all types and sizes, including acquiring and processing services. KakaoTalk's business solution integrates Cafe 24. Cafe 24, a global e-commerce platform, has announced that it is integrating its platform to Kakao's account-based business solution, Kakao Sync. As a result of the partnership, Kakao Sync enables Cafe 24 merchants to utilize its various mobile business services. Merchants can provide store customers with one-click membership sign-up and automatic log-in services through KakaoTalk. Moreover, they can use notification and customer chat functions on KakaoTalk Biz Message to run their customer communication channels. These new functionalities will help merchants gain new customers and improve customer satisfaction, according to Business Korea. Kakao Sync allows for precise mobile target marketing by using big data. Big data analysis automatically categorizes customers into groups according to specifications like date of membership, date of their most recent visit, purchase history, and so on. Thus, merchants will be able to leverage big data insights to increase participation in promotions and conversion rates. BlueSnap facilitates its payments for marketplaces solution. All-in-one payment platform BlueSnap has facilitated its payments for marketplaces solution that turns websites into global e-commerce platforms. With automated vendor onboarding, seamless split payouts, and cross-border payment processing capabilities, the marketplaces solution offers limitless scalability for businesses to add vendors in their marketplaces and grow revenue. BlueSnap's marketplaces solution enables businesses to automatically onboard thousands of vendors in a compliant manner. Companies can set the transaction splits, payment schedule, and payout method, and then BlueSnap handles the distribution of funds. It also provides thorough reporting, which marketplaces can utilize to analyze trends and capitalize on opportunities. The company's marketplace functionality processes payments in more than 100 currencies and includes e-wallets like Apple Pay, SRC, and Google Pay. BlueSnap can localize cross-border payments to increase authorization rates by up to 6% and save up to 1% on interchange fees. In addition, BlueSnap's built-in fraud protection and chargeback management systems minimize risk for the marketplace and its sellers. Smart2Pay adds Ant Financial's HUABEI credit card to its payments portfolio. Smart2Pay, a company that covers online alternative payment solutions worldwide, has added Wabe credit solution to its 200-plus payment methods portfolio. Smart2Pay offers a single API for all payment services to international merchants, covering credit card and local payment options throughout the world. With this new feature, Smart2Pay offers its merchants an additional means to tapping into the Chinese market, besides the popular methods like Alipay, WeChat Pay, and UnionPay that Smart2Pay already offers. Wabe is Ant Financial's virtual credit card for its Chinese users. Some internal shareholders estimated that, of Alipay's 900 million Chinese users, more than half have created Wabe accounts. Wabe may be used for all online and offline purchases via the Alipay wallet. Users of Alipay can set Wabe as their default payment option, meaning that their purchases are first made with credit before funds are debited from their Alipay account. As well, when Wabe is used to shop, the user must return the amount of the payment on the 9th of the next month. There is an interest-free period of up to 41 days. Merchants offering Wabe can see conversion increase by up to 40%. Wabe was launched in April 2015 by Ant Financial as a way for users of its wallet solution Alipay to fund purchases on e-commerce platforms run by Ant Financial's affiliate, Alibaba Group, such as Tmall and Taobao. Wabe's main user base is made up of individuals born after the 80s and 90s, accounting for around 80% of the total users. Since Wabe's launch, Ant Financial has been expanded the service to more online and offline merchants. M&A, Open Banking Drive Commercial Card Innovation. As commercial card innovation expands, service providers continue to target particular pain points for their business cardholders. This week's look at the latest initiatives driving corporate card adoption finds an array of strategies innovators deploy to add value to their offerings, from wielding open banking to nix the pain of bank switching, to collaborating on risk mitigation to nix the friction of personal guarantees, to embracing mergers and acquisitions M&A to strengthen corporate card infrastructure. Archa collabs with I2C in Australia. Australian corporate card provider Archa announced a collaboration of payment and open banking technology firm I2C to debut a new corporate credit card program in the country designed to address key pain points for small and medium-sized businesses (SMBs). Together, the companies are rolling out an offering that arms SMBs with commercial cards without the need for a personal guarantee, according to a press release. Designed for firms with between 2 and 200 employees, the card program underwrites SMBs through Arch's proprietary machine learning-powered risk analysis technology. Through integrating with companies' existing business software, the cards can promote deeper visibility into employee and company spend, the firms noted, adding that Archa will wield i2Sendiseconds platform to enable businesses to set spending rules and limits for employees to streamline the expense management process. The partnership with Archa follows i2Sendiseconds' previously announced partnership with Airwallex, a tie-up that sees i2C powering payment processing for Airwallex's cross-border corporate card, the Airwallex Borderless Card for B2B Payments, a tool that focuses on optimizing global spend with foreign exchange (FX) fees for businesses in an effort to drive commercial card adoption for cross-border payments. Payhawk explores open banking's biz card opportunity in a recent conversation with PYMNTS. Payhawk co-founder and CEO Risto Borisov explored the opportunity for open banking to expand commercial cards' value proposition for businesses. Today, European corporates are gradually expanding their adoption of corporate cards but are often held back by the challenge of having to switch bank providers in order to obtain the card program that best suits their needs. Payhawk is able to operate in unison with businesses' existing bank accounts, however, thanks to Europe's PSD2 and open banking regulations. It offers a much more flexible, integrated experience because of open banking regulations in place in Europe, said Borisov. For organizations, switching conventional banks can be quite challenging. They're using a huge amount of services from their existing banks. Borisov spoke with PYMNTS on the heels of Payhawk's announcement of a $3.23 million funding round led by Earlybird's Digital East Fund, while Tiny VC and other industry experts also participated. Brex goes on acquisition spree this week. Corporate card startup Brex announced the acquisition of three companies to strengthen its card offering. The takeover targets include Neji, which focuses on business security and networking using blockchain, Compose Labs, which targets next-generation video technology, and Landria, a company that develops internal knowledge databases. The financial details of the deal were not made public, although Brex noted the buyouts aim to protect customer data and strengthen its core infrastructure. Brex is committed to helping growing businesses scale, especially in challenging environments, said Brex co-founder and co-CEO Henrique Dubugras in a statement. We look forward to bringing the talented team members at Neji, Compose Labs and Landria onto the Brex team. Excess SaaS spend emerges from the shadows. Software as a Service (SaaS) ushered in a booming transformation for the enterprise. Cloud-based services enable companies to be more agile in adopting flexible technologies, while developers often gain value in being able to create solutions that can more easily integrate with others. Yet for all of SaaS's benefits, organizations can quickly find themselves in SaaS overload, managing dozens or even hundreds of subscriptions and interfaces in an ecosystem that introduces a whole new range of challenges. Indeed, one of the most attractive features of SaaS for businesses has also created one of its biggest problems, according to David Shih, founder and CEO of Trimwire. While SaaS subscriptions offer businesses a set-it-and-forget-it approach to useful tools, not having to worry about manually managing payments to their software vendors means a massive risk of excess spend. "This is a huge problem," he told PYMNTS. "There is a lot of chaos around putting a card onto a website to buy a subscription if you're not aggressively checking your bank statement every month, which most companies are not doing. There is a huge probability that there is something on there you completely forgot about. Complex bills and pricing disparity. One of the biggest reasons businesses large and small end up spending too much on SaaS is the issue of forgetting that they've even acquired a subscription in the first place. As she explained, startups in particular will sign up for free trials, which require a credit card number, and then end up paying for that subscription for months whether they're using it or not. Although common, this isn't the only culprit of excess SaaS spend. There is a lot of opportunity in both canceling unused subscriptions and identifying redundant software subscriptions, finding potential discounts that a company is not aware of, and potentially even negotiating if the prices being charged are much higher for one company than another, he said, noting that Trimwire's technology offers a window into what a company's own industry peers might be paying for the same software subscriptions. When one company knows another is paying less for the same thing, they have a pretty solid argument to justify a cost reduction. Beyond SaaS, Trimwire is also able to automatically tackle another key pain point of subscription spending as organizations increasingly rely on cloud service providers. "The industry's billing practices can be especially challenging for organizations," said she. "It's a highly technical bill," he explained, adding that organizations' own cloud architects or engineers would have to go into system logs to compare usage with that invoice. "Just imagine how much an engineer's time costs per hour and think about them spending their time doing this." While he couldn't say for certain whether cloud service providers intentionally complicate their bills to make it more difficult to identify excess charges, she acknowledged that cloud providers are certainly profiting from this invoice structure. Broadening opportunities. For now, Trimwire is focused on automatically analyzing companies' SaaS and cloud service bills to identify potential savings. But as more industries expand into the subscription business model, there will undoubtedly be a much broader opportunity for organizations to inadvertently overspend on their service providers. The good news is the fintech ecosystem is also evolving to open up opportunities for firms like Trimwire to deepen insights into spend for business customers. She highlighted open banking as a particularly exciting opportunity to expand Trimwire's current data integration capabilities beyond its use of Plaid to access business bank and credit card information. With the gig economy expanding, there will also be new opportunities in helping professionals like freelancers and independent contractors separate their personal from professional business expenses to combat wasted spending, he added. Building a company like Trimwire in the current climate of coronavirus uncertainty is also a significant opportunity for the firm as organizations of all sizes and industries become hyper-vigilant about spend and cash management. While she said executives are generally well-versed on the breadth of the issue of overspending on SaaS, the sheer volume of manual workload that has to occur to identify and mitigate that waste is rarely worth the effort. But when identifying that overspend is automated, the value becomes immediately clear. "It's a problem any consumer can have, a free trial period has expired, and a credit card is being charged without notice. Yet when it's the organization's commercial card on file, the charges aren't a few dollars here and there, rather, the costs can run up into the tens of thousands of dollars. The average company spends $350,000 a year just on SaaS, and this doesn't include all of the cloud and other services, said she. Founders and C-suite executives usually want to spend time on gathering revenue or building the business. Identifying excess spend isn't something they particularly want to engage in, even if they know they have to. The developer's role in driving e-invoice standardization. As the European Union continues its electronic invoicing journey, officials have come to understand the value of format standardization to streamline and simplify the process of generating and ingesting these documents. Each member state, however, takes its own approach to adopting e-invoice standardization mandates in their countries. In Germany, central, regional and local authorities now require government vendors to submit electronic invoices in one of two standards, with the private sector also embracing e-invoice standardization in pursuit of efficiency gains. While the potential benefits of standardizing e-invoices are clear, ensuring that the technologies sending and receiving these digital documents can support those standards is a sometimes complex process, requiring collaboration across government entities, standardization bodies, software developers, and industry stakeholders in both the private and public sectors. There was a need for developers and the government to work together with the industry on this, explained Jochen Sterk, an expert in HTML and IT who has published ZUV, an open-source e-invoice validator that supports two e-invoice standards in Germany. In a recent conversation with PYMNTS, Sterk noted that the International Organization for Standardization, better known as ISO, collaborated with the European Committee for Standardization, CEN, to guide the development and implementation of e-invoice standards. In essence, these bodies created the rule sets and Sterk wrote an application around them, releasing open-source software that other developers can use to support e-invoice standards within their own solutions. The technology has a variety of use cases, from accounts payable (AP) tools that need to be able to properly ingest data within these e-invoices, to factoring companies that must validate e-invoices and ensure accuracy in order to release funds. The software also supports the automatic validation of line item amounts to ensure discounts have been properly applied, for example. Perhaps most importantly, however, the software enables interoperability with a range of invoice readers across platforms like SAP and others, ensuring that formats and codes are correct. An evolving landscape. Sterk recently released an updated version of the software, a reflection of a peculiar reality about e-invoice standardization initiatives in Germany and elsewhere. Standards are continually evolving and changing. That's because as the adoption of standardized e-invoices expands, unforeseen challenges may arise. Sterk pointed to a recent example among scaffolding companies across the country, an industry that charges for scaffolding rentals based on the unique unit of meters per week. There is a list of hundreds of thousands of unit codes, he explained, but in this list, there is no meters per week. It is often up to developers to identify these issues and decipher whether it is a matter of the software, or the standard itself, not supporting such details. I wrote the application around the rule set. Usually, the problem is with the rule set, Sterk added, again highlighting the importance of communication and collaboration across the space. The landscape will continue to evolve, especially considering another peculiarity about e-invoice standardization. There are many, many standards in existence. Standards are a good thing, but too many standards are sometimes confusing, said Sterk. In the next year, we'll see some consolidation. As that occurs, there will also be further discussions in Germany and in other markets around the world, like the US, as to the role of e-invoices and standards to drive efficiency in government and B2B procurement and payments, to combat fraud, and to promote cost savings and environmental resourcefulness through the reduction of paper waste. Europe isn't the only market where governments continue to explore opportunities in e-invoice standardization. Australia and New Zealand announced an initiative in 2018 to develop e-invoice standards to support trade between the new nations. And last year, China's Tencent revealed its own plans to wield blockchain to promote e-invoice standardization. More recently, IPS President and Chief Executive Officer Greg Bartles spoke with PYMNTS about the importance of standardization in supporting the adoption of e-invoicing in AP departments in both the private and public sectors. The problem for U.S. accounts payable departments is that the country has no standards for how suppliers should submit invoices, he said, noting that IPS is currently collaborating with the Fed in its ongoing efforts to establish such standards, but that they are still a long way off. Without standards, accounts payable departments can never be sure of the format in which they will receive supplier invoices, he added. As governments and private companies around the world drive e-invoice adoption through government mandates and efforts to boost efficiency, establishing which standards to use and identifying how to maintain them will have widespread ramifications throughout the fintech developer world. Collaboration will continue to be an essential component to driving adoption and ensuring that the technologies interacting with e-invoices can support those standards. Electronic invoice standards are a good thing, said Sterk. Open standards are even better. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.